concerning with the constituency. If you can just say yes, if you're on bail. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Marilyn Kay?
Yes.
Grant Forsyth? Ken Stubbs?
Yes.
Kerry Carr?
Yes.
Phil Colbrook?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
I'm here.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Tony? Greg Roof? Jessup Wool? Carlos Alfonso? Mark Snyders?
Yes.
Welcome, Mark. Ross Rayner? Tom Keller?
I'm here.
Tom, I'm here. Nicholas Lagergren?
Yes.
Welcome, Nicholas. Kyoshi?
Yeah.
Lucy Nichols?
Yeah.
Amadea? Demi Gitschko?
Yes.
Hi, Amadea, what real is Jamie?
I'm here.
Sorry, who just joined?
Amadea.
Demi Gitschko?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Demi. Alec Wilson?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Alec. And from the liaison, Thomas Russell? And the GAC liaison, Susan C. Well, we have quorum.
And what about our
CCTLD? Yes, we have a
CCTLD there. Susan, sorry, it's Ben.
Yep.
Susan said that she probably would not be able to join today because she's traveling.
Okay. Okay, so the...
And Barbara's on the phone.
Oh, Barbara, you're there, eh?
Yes.
Welcome, Barbara. And it's Paul for who from the line of
I don't think
so,
not this morning.
Okay, thanks, Barbara.
He said that he was going to join the call.
Okay. So the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the meeting of the 6th of May, which is, I guess, a couple of meetings ago. The most recent meeting is the 16th of June. When were those minutes published then?
Bruce, they have not been published because I have not got a reply back from Kurt.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that, but I did ask him the last time on Friday. I've asked him a few times.
Okay. If we can move to approve the minutes of the 6th of May, would someone like to move that?
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. I'll go ahead and move for approval, Bruce.
Okay, thank you, Ken. All those in favour of accepting the minutes of the 6th of May, say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Any abstentions?
I wasn't there.
Okay, that was Alec abstaining. Anybody else?
Mark Schneider.
And Mark Schneider abstaining.
Sorry, was that 6th of May?
6th of May, yes.
Oh, I was there. I was supposed to.
Okay, so you're on board.
Wrong me.
And Mark, you weren't there. Okay, I'll listen to Mark abstaining. We'll note those minutes as passed. The matters arising from the last meeting was action on need to follow up on the position descriptions for the new staff positions. Those position descriptions became available about a week ago. There was some comments from myself, Marilyn Kay, might have been a couple of others. Barbara, do you know what the status of those is? Have they been advertised as yet?
Bruce Paul here. I'm online as well.
Sorry, I'll let you answer then, Paul. If you could just give an update on whether the new staff position descriptions have been finalised and posted.
Yeah, they are finalised, and as soon as the people who are handling the organisation for KL have a few minutes, they will post them, so it can be any day.
Okay. It's probably useful to have them posted before the KL meeting, because then we can refer people to them, all of those that are keen to do policy development. The other action I had was to arrange a meeting between members of the GNSO Council that had chaired previous task forces meetings with the senior ICANN staff to just talk about what the expectations were for the new staff positions and just establish methods of coordinating activities so that we don't have lots of people making unreasonable requests on the staff. What I've done in that regard is to arrange a meeting in Kuala Lumpur, which will be on Sunday morning. And I think I have so far, I have Marilyn Cade, Philip Shepherd, myself, Ken Stubbs, I think Jeff Newman, have all said that they are available. And I believe Paul Toomey, Paul Verhoef, and Kurt Fritz from ICANN are there as well. If anyone else is in KL on Sunday morning and wants to participate in that discussion, they're welcome. Just let me know. So that's the matters arising. Any questions on those two issues? Okay. The next item is an update on the WHOIS task forces. I'm not sure if we have any of the chairs on the call. Do we have Jordan or Brian or Jeff?
Hi, Bruce. This is Brian.
Hi, Brian. Would you like to give an update on where Task Force 3 is?
Sure. There's not a whole lot to report. We had a summary of the public comments prepared last week. Held a call on purposes of seeing how we go forward. Based on people's schedules, it's unlikely that we can really do anything with the preliminary report before KL. I think it's the thinking of the group that it would be very helpful if the force members present in KL were there and get together and try to hammer out additional on various points in the preliminary report. I think that's a good idea. We're basically where we with the preliminary report, which was a pretty clear recommendation. But I do think that with a little bit additional work and time, particularly if there's opportunities to meet in person at KL, that would facilitate at least trying to reach consensus on a few of the points. I'm not sure about what constituencies will be present in KL. I will not be able to make that meeting. I'm not sure whether Kiyoshi is going to be there.
I'll be there.
Kiyoshi's going to be there, then he could represent the IPC in this Task Force 3 meeting. That seems to me best opportunity to reach some consensus on some of these points. So, at this point, I guess it would be helpful to get a little bit of guidance counsel as to what we should do today. Should we simply just submit our preliminary with a brief introduction indicating that we think additional work is required? You want us to call it a final report because it's not really that. But the advice you can give on those points would be helpful.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. Can I speak?
Yes, go ahead,
Marilyn. I'd like to ask Brian a couple of questions, but before I do that, I think we probably ought to hear from the other two task forces. My sense is they are in a similar situation, but I would like to go ahead and ask Brian a question about the report for Task Force 3.
Well, would you like me to, if Jordan and Jeff are not available, I'll give a quick update on what they've sent me.
Yeah.
And then that's with an address.
Sure.
For Brian's issues, so I think there's some commonality there. The report I had from Jordan was that they had been discussing creating a merged version of Task Force 1 and Task Force 2, but due to time pressures, that hasn't been completed. And they're hoping, I guess, over the next week, for the purposes of the task forces, to have a draft merged report for discussion by the members of those task forces in Kuala Lumpur. And then he's got the comment that we'll probably need at least a couple of weeks after KL to finalise those reports. So that's what Jordan was reporting. And I'll just see, I think I've got a note from Jeff Newman here as well today.
Yeah, Jeff said it.
Yeah, basically just saying it's in the same sort of position.
Yeah.
So I think all the task force to me seem not to have updated their report since we last met. I think Task Force 1 and Task Force 2 sounds like they're planning to do at least some sort of update over the next week. But they won't have a finalised report, so I guess it's in a draft form. And it's sounding like Task Force 3 has still got a current report, and it needs to get the face-to-face time with the members of the task force to advance that. Does that answer your question, Marilyn?
Not completely. I have read all three of the reports, of course, and been participating in the development of Task Force 2's work. One of the things that is really so far missing from all three of the task forces is a good scrub on the practicality or implementability of some of the concepts. I can't really call them policy recommendations yet, but concepts that are being explored. And I say that having lived through the previous processes, and I know how frustrating it can be to a task force to do a lot of work and then find out that recommendations just simply cannot be implemented for one reason or another. So I think while we're in KL, in a discussion between task force members and council while we're there, we really ought to look at that aspect of the yet-to-be-done work, because I think it would be more productive for the task force to have some guidance on that before finalizing their recommendations. There may be some things that are sort of low-hanging fruit and can be turned into policy recommendations, and others where more data will be needed in order to take that step.
Yes, I think what I would recommend, and also responding to Brian's question, I think rather than post the current versions and call them the initial reports, what I'd suggest we do, there's a meeting slot that we're trying to organise on the Tuesday before the GNSO Council meeting. And the idea would be to get the council as a whole and the members of the three task forces and really go through the recommendations or concepts, if you want to call them that, of the three task forces together and just get a sense of which recommendation or concepts seem in the view of the entire council to be most practical, I guess, to pursue further, because there's probably some recommendations that there may not be the right technologies or we may not have enough consensus yet to move forward on, whereas some other recommendations might be seen to have very strong support or are fairly clearly implementable. And then I would, once we've got a sense of that, then I'd be recommending to the task forces to focus on those specific concepts or recommendations and flush them out in more detail and, in particular, discuss some of the implementation issues. Does that sort of sound like an appropriate approach, at least for that particular meeting?
Yeah,
Bruce, this is Brian. I think that would be very helpful, actually. I think it would give some guidance and focus to the discussions and probably bring some closure on a few issues. So, good idea.
And Bruce, this is Marilyn again, and I think we must advise the ICANN staff of the importance of their both participating in that meeting and working with us ahead of time and following, because some, as we will recall, one of the things that we are reliant on the legal staff at ICANN to do is to determine what policies affect the contract.
Right, so it would probably be good that if we have both a policy person from the ICANN staff as well as a person from the legal area of ICANN available in that meeting.
Bruce, Paul here.
Yeah.
We have nothing to attend, and I'm currently checking with John whether he is in a position to attend, if not, if he can send Dan Halloran.
Yeah, I think either Dan or John would be fine then. And Dan's probably got as good as a view as anybody of the current registrar contracts. And certainly at least from a discussion point of view, because it's not like we're looking for finalised legal advice. We're really just looking for someone that's got a thorough understanding of the contracts. The other comment I would make, probably Brian, is that it's probably sensible to get everyone together first on that Tuesday morning, and then the individual task forces could then probably meet separately after that once they've got a bit of a flavour of the outcomes of that first meeting.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll run an email to the task force and see if we can get somebody there from each constituency. I think that's probable that we'll do that. And then the plan would be a morning meeting.
Yeah, just one of the questions I have is I'm a bit uncertain as to the current timing. Glenn, are you able to advise us on what time that meeting's scheduled for?
With the modification that Marilyn has brought about, it will start at 11 o'clock and will go on to about 12:30.
Yeah, we might want to go a little longer than that too.
Well, I'll put it down for 1 o'clock then.
Yeah, I'd just get it from 11 to 1.
Fine.
If we have a room available for that. The council meeting itself is at 2 p.m., I think, isn't it?
Right. That's right. Bruce, I don't really think it's practical for the task forces to have, at least it's not practical for me to agree to task force meetings while I'm at ICANN, other than that working session, given other obligations and responsibilities that I have. And I would suspect other people may be somewhat in that position. So we may need to work that out sort of on the fly based on who's there.
This is for the follow-up meetings.
Yeah.
I kind of leave that to individual task forces to do what's appropriate.
And I know that many of my staff members won't be there, and I think they would feel somewhat disenfranchised if we went ahead with the meeting, other than perhaps trying to submit our thoughts on what a work proposal might be.
Okay. I guess one of the things would be to try and summarize the outcome of the meeting that we have in email form so that at least we can get a bit of email discussion going. And discussion going in the hallways, et cetera, amongst some of the committee members that are available prior to a more formal meeting. Just take advantage of people's availability.
Sure.
Okay. I think that's basically item three. Are there any other questions regarding the WHO's task force?
This is just Thomas Monk. Himself, sorry for joining late.
That's okay, thanks for joining us. Item four, the policy development on the approval process for GTLD registry changes. I've been trying to finish a draft complete report, which was due today, and I also haven't completed it. I'm planning to complete that in the next couple of days. Most of what I'm doing is pulling together into a single document all the constituency statements. And the analysis of those statements that was done by Barbara, also annotating diagrams that have been published, numbering each of the steps in those diagrams and writing a short description of each of those steps. So I hope to have that all completed in the next couple of days and posted to the council members to have a look at. So it's something else to read on the plane for those that are travelling to Kuala Lumpur. The last item five is the...
Actually, Bruce, if you're on, I have a question about that.
Yeah, sure.
I read the CSAC report, and I have a question really for the ICANN staff that may take some exploration on their part.
Yes,
one of the questions I have is just about timing. Council was asked to develop recommendation to ICANN. Was there a firm date by which we were supposed to conclude that? And if so, are we meeting it? And if not, do we need to modify the formal time frame in order to stay in compliance with our transparent policy development process? I'm not suggesting the ICANN staff will know the answer to that off the top of their heads, but I think it needs to be defined.
Yeah, I'll give you my quick understanding of that, Marilyn. That was, I think, the original letter from, I believe it was Bob Stanley at the time, to the council, was actually looking for a response early this year. That was raised around about October of last year, I think, in response to the site finder issue. And I think ICANN was hoping for 3 months from that date to have it completed. And that's not, I guess.
Yeah, this is Barbara. May I speak to that?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
The intention originally was to have everything completed within the original PDP framework as outlined in the bylaws. And so, yes, Paul did anticipate that it would be a fairly short process that we could get through relatively quickly, and hopefully have something prior to the Rome meeting. But that obviously didn't take place. I think everyone recognizes that the PDP timelines aren't appropriate for certain functions, and no one has set another date by which this particular PDP should be concluded. But the staff's desire, obviously, is to have it concluded as quickly as possible. So I think getting work started on it again and concluding that work, you know, with recommendations is really, you know, as quickly as we can.
Yes, I think the steps from here that I would expect would be if I get this draft done this week, then we would probably at least discuss the existence of the draft at the meeting in Kuala Lumpur. And then hopefully about shortly after the Kuala Lumpur meeting, we'd post it for official public comments once the council is comfortable with that draft. So in other words, we'd release it as an initial report shortly after the KL meeting. Then we'd go through the sort of 20-day formal public comment process and then hope to... finalised report following that.
Yeah, that seems like a reasonable
time frame
for this report forward.
Okay, reassignment of .NET. Philip Shepherd, do you want to report on where that's up to?
Sure, thanks, Bruce. We're now at the second comment stage. That is what's called initial report being circulated and sent out for public comment. We've had so far, I think, about 3 extra comments in this second round, including a lengthy comment from one Melbourne IT. Comments close on the 14th of July. At that point, I'll be producing an amended version of our initial report, and we then, as a committee, need to meet, I guess, to agree to that before submitting it to council in Kuala Lumpur. And in fact, on that subject, I wondered if slot 10 to 11:30 on Tuesday morning, that's 20th, would work for members of the .NET subcommittee and wouldn't clash with anything else. Ben, then, is that free as far as you know in terms of all the events?
Actually, Philip, I'm not available at that time frame because of an invitation to speak to the CCs, but perhaps if I'm the only one not available.
Okay. Well, I think it's not that subcommittee rather than anything else.
Oh, just the subcommittee, okay, not the council.
Just to tomorrow for the whole council.
Yeah, I think one of the, can I just check, have you requested constituency statements or received any constituency statements?
We have indeed requested constituency statements on numerous occasions. We have received one statement from the business constituency and none further.
Yeah, I guess I would encourage those on this call to coordinate with their constituencies and get a sense of whether the constituency supports the current, initial report on .NET. And also, hopefully in KL, I would encourage each constituency to have that as an item on their agenda for discussion, as we really need as much feedback as possible.
Yes, I mean, although clearly I'm having a constituency who has been a member of the subcommittee and the subcommittee has endorsed the report, it would be helpful just for our formality of the process for a simple statement from the constituency just expressing support if that's all that is the case.
Harry to speak, please.
Go ahead, Harry.
I think there might be some confusion about the extent to which a PDP is in process here and the extent to which a subcommittee is simply eliciting advice. Would it be possible to have some last-minute clarification at this point?
I think that's probably a question we'll leave with Paul Verhoeven to get John Jeffrey to comment on, because I think that is a key question, Carrie, and I think the sentence I have was the original wording that was used, I believe, in a letter from Paul Verhoeven to myself as chair, was using the word advice, but I note that subsequent to that, Verisign submitted a letter to ICANN that said that under the Verisign contract, they believed that it needed to be developed as consensus policy. And it was at least Verisign's opinion that therefore we should be using the full PDP. So, I don't feel that I can directly answer that question. I think we should probably seek some response to that at the KL.
There are, however, two ways to develop a consensus policy that are documented.
Yes, go ahead, Meryl.
The full PDP in which the council votes pass for, it is possible to work to develop consensus policies not invoking the task force as provided in Subsection 8.
Yes, that is correct. Yep. But that is still part of the policy development.
It is. And I do think we need legal advice on it and clarification, and we may, as council, need to take some retroactive steps to, if we have not followed the formal policy development process and need to, then we will need to take the steps to fix retroactively those steps we have to take, in my view, in order to ensure consensus policy.
Yeah, I think there's another issue in this, is that the contract was written before the bylaws revision, and so they're not necessarily consistent.
Absolutely. I mean, it's also just worth mentioning that because of this uncertainty, we have been operating on the basis that we are probably providing advice, but following as far as practicable the processes and timelines laid out in the PDP. So we've been using that as a guideline for the way that we proceed. Anyway, it's more practical point. Were all members of the subcommittee happy with my suggestion of meeting 10 o'clock, 11:30 on Tuesday, 20 July? Yes. Construe silence as consent.
Yes, there doesn't seem to be any objections.
Glenn, could you note that and include that in the program?
So
that was from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, was it?
10 to 11:30, yeah.
I think it needs to be 10 to 11 because I think the other meeting starts at 11.
Oh, I just thought it wasn't 3rd, I'm sorry. Okay. 10 to 11 it can be.
Bruce Moore here.
Yes, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think on the other question, it is probably good that we ask our legal team, given the involvement of some of the communications from a number of the actors here, to be sure that we're on the right track. And if Philip thinks it is useful, maybe either Dan or John should participate, if not only for a few minutes, at the meeting he's just organized.
Yes, please, most welcome.
Yes, well, I think that would be good, and Paul, if you could just brief John Jeffrey that we're seeking some advice in that area.
Absolutely.
And really the advice we're seeking is, are we following the right procedures, and is there anything else we need to do?
Yeah,
that's good. However, Paul, it's Marilyn. I really feel this advice needs to be provided to council as well as to the subcommittee. It is council that is responsible.
Yes, I understand that, Marilyn. This is no problem. I think what we will try to do is get this advice out to the council as soon as possible so that when Philip has his meeting and there would be subsequent practical questions, it could be handled there if the council agrees to that.
Right, and perhaps there could just be then a short discussion as needed at the following council meeting.
Yes, I have actually asked John if he could be available for the council meeting, and that's probably the main topic I think that would arise that we'd seek his advice on. Okay, any other questions about .NET? Okay, the next item on the agenda, I think, is an item that you requested, Marilyn. My computer's just gone onto screensaver mode, so I can't read it now. Perhaps if you'd just like to raise that topic.
Certainly. I work in several other international fora where recommendations are developed or the counterpart of policy, or even treaty regulations are developed, where technical policy is developed, technical recommendations, et cetera. And one of the things that I observe is the need for the use for council and our task forces and our supporting staff of a guide which explains the formal process that we are required to follow in developing policy, with the requisite links embedded in it to the appropriate and applicable parts of the bylaws or other documents. I, myself, as a new rapporteur in another organization, benefited significantly from the new rapporteur's guide, which had all those things, including what my job was as a rapporteur. And I suspect for task force, both members but also chairs, something of this nature would be absolutely imperative and would also, over time, offload the staff from the routine sorts of questions about what does this mean, what's the TRO, who's supposed to write the issues report, who's supposed to do this part of the job, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think, Mel, that's probably something that would start as an outcome of the discussion that we have on Sunday morning in KL, which is really trying to draft a document that describes the roles of the members of the committees, the staff and the chairs of those committees. And it's really just establishing roles and expectations. And then, as you say, when someone else in the future becomes chair of the committee, they've got something to refer to and understand what's expected.
I think it might help could we try to recruit task force members as well?
Yes, I agree. Okay, is there any other items of business anyone would like to raise?
Can I promote attendance at the WISIS informational meeting at ICANN?
Yes, go ahead.
On Tuesday morning, so you'll see from the agenda that there is a WISIS informational meeting, and we will have as guest speakers Paul Toomey and also Marcus Toomer. Marcus is the gentleman who is Ms. Secundus from the Swiss government to act as the secretariat to the Internet Governance Working Group reporting into the Secretary General of the ITU. We'll also have, as a guest speaker, someone representing the UNICT Task Force. That's still being worked out on who that will be. And then we will have comments from some of the constituencies and comments from the floor in response to any questions or positions or statements that they wish to make. This is really kind of a continuation on to the last with this informational session. And it has been arranged in a way and negotiated with both the CCTLD leadership and the GAC to ensure that they will both be able to attend.
I guess the last item of the agenda is probably under other business. I'd just like to perhaps get Glenn to run through a quick summary of the timetable of the meetings we've got. Are you able to do that, Glenn? Just go through the breakfast and the meetings of the GNSO and the GAC and so on. Are you there, Glenn? I'd like to summarise that from memory. I believe on the Monday at lunchtime there is a meeting between the GNSO Council and the GAC Working Group on GTLD issues.
That's right. We start at 7:30 with the GNSO breakfast, then the constituency meeting, then 13 hours to 13:45 is the GAC Working Group in the GAC room. And then 17 to 17:30 is the CCNSO with the GNSO Council. And on Monday, there's the official reception. Then on Tuesday, 8:30 to 10, the visit. Now we have 10 to 11, the .NET subcommittee. And from 11 to 1, we have the GNSO Council and who is Task Forces. Then the GNSO Council meeting in the afternoon.
Okay, thanks for that, Glenn. Summarize.
Yeah, Bruce, this is Ken Stuff. Do you think there's a possibility, Glenn, that you could more or less finalize this thing towards the end of the week and maybe send an email out to us with any last-minute changes?
Yes, certainly, Ken. I have been trying to find it. It's up on the website, but I will get it changed and try and finalize it.
You know, the email is actually probably more beneficial to many of us than the website, even.
Okay, fine.
Something over the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, that would be timely and fully up to date as of that time, it really would be helpful. Takes time to get it out to a website.
Pleasure. Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you.
One issue that we will need to, I guess, discuss with the CC group is we're meeting with the CC NSO as a whole rather than the CC NSO Council, I believe. And I guess they're trying to work out what's the best way to interact with the GNSO. And, I guess they'll make it to some different models, but I understand our preference is probably to continue the way we have in the past with some liaison officers and potentially a physical meeting at the different ICANN meetings. Do any people have a strong view that they would advise any differently to that?
Yeah, Bruce, this is Ken Stubbs. I have a question. You mentioned liaison. I know in the past the CCs have had liaison to the GNSO. I believe Elizabeth was acting in that capacity until she stepped out. Do we have some sort of reciprocal arrangement established yet with the CCs?
No, we have not put any of that.
I think our liaison is actually on the phone with us today, isn't she?
Sorry, what was that, brother?
Is Young on the phone with us today?
I didn't hear when we did the roll call. Are you online, Young?
We do, of course, have a present CC liaison, and in fact, the CCs had intended to maintain two liaisons. In Ghana, some of you will remember that there was the convening of a group, one representative from each of the constituencies, to talk at that time about developing sort of a list of tasks that liaisons would perform. I think liaisons would be very important to have. And if we probably should think about whether there are another supporting organization that we might want to explore having a liaison to as well, being the ASO.
Right, that's true. Also, yes.
Bruce?
Yes.
Yeah. One more thing, and that is since the CCs do have a liaison to the council, it might be a good idea for us to consider, especially in Kuala Lumpur, allocating a short block of time to that liaison, give the liaison the opportunity to possibly provide the council with a current status report on the CCMSO activities and so forth. I think it's extremely important for us to have a good working knowledge of the activities of the other supporting organizations, because in the long run, we do coordinate together in helping ICANN develop policies that enhance all of our activities.
Well, what I suggest we do on that topic, Ken, is I'll actually ask at the meeting that we have on the Monday afternoon, I will ask the CCNSO to actually give us a brief summary of their report at that time, and we can likewise give a summary of the policies we're underway. I think it's still a bit early. I think the CCNSO as an official organisation has yet to really formally appoint someone to the GNSO. Presently, we've got a representative. I think Jung was really representing the CCTLDs as they existed prior to the CCNSO.
Well, I agree, and I guess really what I'm trying to say is I think we need to establish some groundwork to enhance communication between the supporting organizations. We've really not had that communication, like, say, with the RIRs.
We've had very little communication with the ASO. I mean, maybe that's one of the things that I could arrange at the meeting, in the council meeting. I need to finalise an agenda for that, but potentially we could invite, I've invited Steve Crocker from the ICANN Security Committee to just provide a briefing on the SiteFinder report to the council members. And we could also, I'm not quite sure where the ASO is currently at in terms of its organisation, but potentially ask a representative from the ASO to just give us a briefing on the ASO status.
That would be very welcome. Is it your feeling that we will need more than two hours for the council meeting?
My view is probably not, because I think the who is discussion will be discussed separately in a couple of hours prior to the council meeting. And then if you look at it, I don't see that we're going to have anything up for decision at the KL meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had something for decision, you know, generally it needs three quarters of an hour to an hour for debate if we're going to approve a new policy. So I see this more status report. So I think 2 hours would be adequate. And we certainly have enough time to have a significant, you know, perhaps a half an hour with Steve Crocker and, you know, maybe half an hour with somebody else.
Bruce, it is important, though, that we leave who is as a report on the agenda, because this is our public meeting.
Oh, yes, it will be a report. It's just, I don't imagine it's going to be an hour report.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, the agenda, I see the agenda at the moment being pretty similar to the agenda of this meeting. And I think, as you said, a lot of it's an opportunity to brief the public on what we're doing in each of the areas of policy development that we have underway. Okay, if there's no further business then, I thank everyone for attending and close the call at this point. Okay, thank you.